Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We are blessed, it seems, that almost nearly every service we have visitors, and we thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. I appreciate the prayers that were offered. Mention me in prayer. I will always be quick to admit that I need your prayers, and I appreciate that very much. Appreciate the good song service. You put the effort into that, and Ray did a very good job in leading those songs. And I appreciate the good job that Ray did in the scripture reading. Did an excellent job. We appreciate him for reading that scripture before us. It's taken from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Ethan, did I get your name wrong? All right, Ethan, my bad. And just to let you in on a little insight, they're doing very well on the sermon that they're preparing, and I've just made the point to them that sometimes you're going to misspeak, so I don't even know what I said. So, Ethan, I think you probably knew who I was talking about nonetheless. You did a good job, Ethan. Appreciate you doing that. From James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. I want us to talk about what doth it profit? Asking the question, what does it profit? The word profit is found 67 times in the Bible. And from James chapter 2, verses 14 and verse 16, the word that is found there, profit, comes from an original word that is only found 3 times in the New Testament. Again, 2 times in, you find in James chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 16, and then the third time you'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 32 where it is rendered, advantageth. When Paul says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? And he's talking about the fact that there is a resurrection in that portion of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then he goes on to say, for we eat and we live, and then tomorrow we die. And so that word advantageth is the same word that is rendered profit in James chapter 2, verses 14 and verse 16. There are things that are pointed out in the Bible that profit, and things that are pointed out that do not profit. And I just want to talk maybe about a couple on each one of them. The first one I want us to think about is found in the book of Acts chapter 20, and then verse 20, when the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He says, and how I came back nothing. He's talking to the elders of the Church of Christ at Ephesus, called them unto him and began to talk with them about some things. And he says, and how I came back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house. The Word of God is profitable. Paul points out later on in Acts chapter 20, he's still talking to the Ephesian elders, and notice what he talks about. He says, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Paul, how are you pure from the blood of all men? Because he had not shunned to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. Verses 26 and 27. The Word of God is profitable. We need to understand that it would do you no good whatsoever if you assembled together this evening and I did nothing but share with you what I thought about things. Maybe some stories or some jokes or what I think about it, how I feel, the way I think it ought to be. That would profit you not one little bit, much less get you to heaven. But as Paul is talking to them, he's pointing out to them that he has shared with them things that are profitable to them. I came back nothing, Paul says, that was profitable unto you. How long was Paul with them? Well, he goes on to say near the end of this chapter, he says, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I've been with you longer than 3 years. And I hope that it cannot be said that I have kept back something that was profitable unto you in these near 7 years that we've been with you. We've got to share with one another what the Word of God is because it is profitable. I think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, this was pointed out, and Verses 16 and 17, when Paul says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that means it is God's breath and is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good work. And so we need to stick with what the Bible says. I think one of the probably the most important things that I can share with these young men that are doing a good job in preparing to deliver this sermon, that is, be true to the book. Be yourself and be true to what the text says. Share with individuals what the Scriptures say, because all Scripture is God-breathed. And it's profitable for the things that Paul points out, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And by the way, they're doing a good job, and I look forward to them presenting that lesson before you in a couple or three weeks. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul, still writing to Timothy, pens this: "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Godliness is profitable. He goes on to say, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Now, he didn't say that there is no worth in it, that there is no profit in it, but little. And he goes on to say that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Have you ever stopped to think about what Paul means when he says to Timothy, when he's talking about the fact that godliness is profitable unto all things, and then he makes this statement, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. What did Paul mean when he's talking about godliness, exercising thyself rather unto godliness, and then he says having the promise of the life that now is? Now, how is exercising thyself unto godliness connected with the life that not only now is, but the life that is to come? You know, just because you are a Christian and you are living the life that God would have you to live doesn't mean that it's smooth sailing. Doesn't mean that you are given immunity from God, from suffering and from persecution and difficulties that arise. So what does Paul mean then when he says, exercise thyself unto godliness, having the promise of the life that now is, and the life that is to come? You know, in the Beatitudes they're referred to, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus would talk about the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does it mean, having the promise of the life that now is? Well, in a general way of speaking, God's people have the best that life has to offer. I want you to think about that. You know, God's people make the best neighbors that you could ever ask for. Have you ever lived beside ungodly people who are not concerned about doing that which is right? Have you ever tried to work alongside people who are ungodly people and they don't care about being honest? By the way, Christian people make the best employees. The promise that now is, we have the finest of things that we have to enjoy. We have blessings that abound on every hand as God's people, both physically and spiritually. The Proverbs talk about many general rules of life and talking about the things that we have to enjoy. The book of Ecclesiastes abounds with statements that God has given us things to enjoy. We have promise of the life that now is and the life which is to come. We have eternal life that God, who cannot lie, has promised to them that are faithful, that believe and are faithful. Titus chapter 1 and in verse 2. Exercise thyself unto godliness, having promise of the life that now is. You can enjoy this life being a faithful Christian unto God. Doesn't mean that all things are going to go well and go the way that you would like them to every turn. But we can enjoy this life. And God's given it to us, by the way, to enjoy. But also, there are some things that simply do not profit. I'd like to mention a couple of them to you. Come with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, and then verse 19, beginning. 1 Samuel 12, verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil. What evil? To ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit, nor deliver, for they are vain. And so I want us to think about a couple of things that simply do not profit. The first one I want you to think about is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, and then verse 8. So turn over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, and notice, if you will, verse 8. The people had done wrong. They had turned their back on the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Similar statement is found back up in verse 4 when he says, trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. They're going to find out that their captivity was going to be exactly as God had said, just as long as God had said that it would be. Jeremiah, by the way, is a prophet that points out that it was going to be 70 years. And though some were trying to say that there was going to be an early return, it was not so. God is telling them, you're going to find out. Don't trust in lying words and what these false prophets are telling you, that the captivity was going to be cut short. You will be there for the time that I've declared, 70 years. Don't trust, by the way, our application. Don't trust in lying words. They do not profit. A lot of folks today put a lot of stock in lying words. Don't be among them. I trust I'm talking to people tonight who do not trust in lying words. You can't believe everything that you hear. I think about the statement made in 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether these things are so, whether they be of God. Try, test, prove the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know how you can avoid falling prey to lying words? Try, test, and prove what folks are saying. Have that attitude like the Bible talks about in Acts 17:11, when he says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Lying words do not profit. But also, as you think about that which does not profit, notice what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10 and in verse 2. Proverbs 10, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. And also Proverbs 11, 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Don't put your stock in earthly gain, in riches. We understand the importance of material possessions. I think all of us do. We have bills to feed, food to put on the table, and obligations that are to be met. But don't allow riches, earthly possessions, to cause you to lose sight of what is valuable. I think about the question that the Lord asked in Matthew 16:26, for what is it profited if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Also Mark 8, 36 and 37. The Lord said in Luke 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know why? You know what the difference is between that which you can see and what you can't see? One's temporal, one's eternal. As pointed out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and then verse 16, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And he gives the reason, the Bible is its own best commentary, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are things that profit and things that don't. I hope that this lesson will cause us to appreciate a couple of the things that profit and a couple of the things that profit not. Should you be among us tonight having never obeyed the gospel? Why not obey tonight? You may say, preacher, I want to become a Christian, but I don't know how to do that. Well, you do what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. It will never change by hearing the gospel, Romans 10, verse 17. Believing it, John 8, 24. Repenting of your sins, changing your mind about what you've been doing. Begin to do that which is right, without which will perish, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confessing your faith in Christ like the eunuch did when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8, 37. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and then verse 38. Can't get any more simple than that. It's the Lord's way. Will you do that? Maybe you have, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should, and you want to come home. You want to be restored. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. He'll restore you to faithfulness if you'll do those things. Repent and confess it unto Him in prayer. 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.